This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
A quick question. Ask it for a friend. Those 10-year minimum sentences, those apply to anyone that defaces federal property, right? Right? Yeah. I know that's right. All right. We'll find out in a minute.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
When you're in the club, get your ass on the floor.
When you're in the club, get your ass on the floor.
When you're in the club, get your ass on the
floor. Them haters can't tell me nothing. Them haters can't tell me nothing. Them haters can't tell you nothing.
That's a dirty money.
That's right. When you're in the club, get your ass on the floor.
You know
when you're in the club, get your ass on the floor.
When you're in the club, get your ass on the floor.
When you're
in the club, get your ass on the
floor. Them haters can't tell me nothing. Them haters can't tell you nothing.
It's a dirty money. Hey, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I want to thank you first and foremost for spending some time with me, giving me a little moment of your day. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me and I appreciate it. I don't even normally fuck with dirty money like that. I don't know what it was about that song. Like, the moment I heard it, it spoke to me. I had to do it. When you're in the club, get your ass on the floor. I don't know why I got the edited version, but that's what I got. Get your ass on the floor. Y'all know what he was trying to say. It's a dirty money. Anyway, let me apologize first. You know, I know it's been a minute since one of these episodes have come out. I'll talk more about that during this episode. Content might be like coming out back to back to back. I did have a goal at one point. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I'm not big into that. Happy New Year, by the way. We haven't spoken since then. Welcome to 2021. Here we are. But I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but I did have like a goal that I wanted to get 52 episodes out, you know, this year. I wanted to be on the episode a week track and already falling off. So might just be pumping out some content, you know, back to back to back to try to get back on pace to reach my goal. But that's neither here nor there. Hope everybody's doing good. Hope everybody enjoyed the holiday season. We made it through it. Made it through it into what? I don't know yet, but, you know, we still here. We can still laugh about it. I just want to get some updates on, you know, my usual stuff. You know, I normally talk about my daughter to start most episodes, Chef Elise, and the brilliant work that we doing in the kitchen. We had so many activities since the last time we spoke. I might not have been a podcaster, but I was still being a dad. That's always my job. So, we did some pretty dope things. And I realized some things that you can't do in a sober house. I wanted to do this project. I try to find like activities and projects that are fun, and the cooking seemed like it had kind of stagnated a little bit. Like, maybe we had gone as far in that direction as we could go, and maybe she wasn't having as much fun with it as she was in the beginning. So I decided to switch it up. I did a crystal growing kit with her, and first, like, it was a bad dad decision because the box clearly said like 8 and up. And this is where you can't get cocky as a parent. I'm like, yo, she's only 5, just turned 5. But I'm like, yo, she got this. She's advanced. Like, 8 and up, who cares? My daughter can do 8 and up. We about to show everybody. Say I bought this crystal growing kit. And it comes with 3 cups, the powder for the crystals, like some tweezers. And I think when I saw the tweezers, I realized we was already out of her element. Like anything you got to use tweezers to do is probably too much for a 5-year-old. But I pushed forward anyway. Then I started reading the packages of the powder for the crystal, and it clearly says, like, on the packages, like, don't inhale any of this stuff. So it's like when you pour it out into the cups, like you're not supposed to inhale. So now I'm, you know, anybody that's tried to give instructions to a 5-year-old knows that you don't expect them to be followed, you know, at least not the first time you give them instructions. And now I'm thinking, I got to pour this powder out. I got to tell my daughter not to breathe it in. And basically, like, telling a 5-year-old not to inhale something is like telling them to inhale it, because now they want to know why they can't inhale it. And the fastest way to figure that out is to inhale it and find out what happens. So yeah, that was the first roadblock, was trying to make sure my daughter didn't breathe any of this stuff in. And I think we got past that. But then you're supposed to mix these powders with boiling hot water. Like, I was supposed to boil water. And we're supposed to stir, like, you. So we're supposed to work with this water that's like boiling. I'm like, that's not a good idea. So I'm like microwaving water, trying to get it to like the perfect, like, it's not boiling, but it's hot. And that's still not a good idea for a 5-year-old. Like, I may be setting myself up for a case or something right now, like telling y'all this story, but we did it. I ain't gonna go no further with the water. We did it. We got this stuff dissolved in the water. And they got to sit for like 7 days or something to grow, you know. So I told her we were putting the crystals to sleep. So we put them in like a closet in the laundromat down here. I had to find a place that where they wouldn't get bumped. Not the laundromat, the laundry room. But I had to find a place where they wouldn't get bumped or disturbed for 7 days. And that was like the only low traffic place in the house I could think of. So I told her we were putting them to sleep, and we put them in the we put them in the little laundry room. And and that's when I realized, like, it's like these 3 cups of colored liquid that I seem to be hiding from the rest of the house. That I'm gonna have to explain this. And there's no way to explain in a sober house that you're growing crystals that don't sound wrong. Like, I just, you know, that's, I don't know. It wasn't a good idea across the board. She's not old enough for it. It's hard to give her those kind of instructions. And then now I got to explain to everybody in the house that this colored liquid that I'm asking nobody to touch and not to fuck with, that I'm hiding in the back of a cabinet, is nothing to worry about, but I am growing crystals. Like, it's, you know, and it only gets worse because we got past that. And then I got my roommate's girlfriend to help me wrap gifts for my daughter. And so we're wrapping the gifts. And she's asking, you know, who to put in the to and from fields. And don't judge me. Like, my handwriting is horrible. So, yes, I let somebody else write, you know, to and from on the stuff to my daughter, because she wouldn't have been able to read it if it was me. So her grandmother sent her a couple things, and her grandmother likes to go by Graham. And so, yeah, I'm like, you know, that one is from Graham. And she's like, Graham? Like, no, just one Graham. And then again, it was like, That was a red flag to everybody in the house. We talking about grams now? What's going on? Why is it a conversation about grams? Just one gram? You're only getting 1 gram? Like, it's 4 of us. Like, you know, I'm realizing, like, you gotta be very careful about what you say. So if you wonder why I'm like super careful about what I say on this podcast, like, I live in an environment where, like, things can get misconstrued very quickly. And I try to avoid that. But I digress. We got the gifts wrapped. Good Christmas for Elise. It was, a lot of my gifts were like unicorn themed. I got like a unicorn robe, and then crystals were going to be like the stars. And I got her this moon, like nightlight, and it changes colors and stuff. So I gave my daughter the moon and the stars. I be trying to do stuff like people. I really do be trying to be the best dad I could be. I know the metaphor, like, all the shit was lost on her. But, like, at least when I explained it to somebody else, I'm like, I tried to give my daughter the moon and the stars, and I turned her into a unicorn. And you know, I don't know. I'll be trying. Anyway, we did do some Chef Elise stuff. I'm talking about my daughter a lot this episode because I don't have shit else to talk about. But we did do some Chef Elise stuff. And so I share because I care. I'm sharing this stuff with you so that you don't make the same mistakes that I did. One of the recipes, because my daughter is all about rainbows and unicorns right now. And that's not like by design. When I found out I was having a girl, you know, her mother and I we both tried to like steer away from like Pink and stuff like that. Like we didn't want to program her into what a girl is supposed to like. We wanted her to come to discover the things that she liked and she identified with on her own. Sorry for that. And so, yeah, we tried to steer away from Pink, but like Pink and rainbows and unicorns and hearts, like she's just a girly girl by nature. Like she just discovered those things on her own. So I had the bright idea. I saw on YouTube, we're going to make rainbow pasta. So, you know, you cook the noodles normally and you get bags with like water and food coloring and you like dye your noodles, you know, different colors. So I'm like, this would be a dope project. She can't help me boil the pasta and everything, but I'll do that beforehand and she can work with me on just dyeing the pasta the colors that she wants to eat. And so we got to that point and she wanted purple, you know, because she can't just do the purple. We could have just done the primary colors and had a rainbow, but no, we got to do purple. And so we tried to mix blue and red food coloring and it looked black in the bag, but I'm like, this is the way it looks in the bag. Like, you know, I dyed eggs before. The dye in the bowl don't always look the shade that the food going to come out. So we good. Like, don't worry about it, at least. Like, we good. It's going to be purple when it comes out. Nah, it wasn't. It wasn't purple. It was, that liquid had become black and it came out more like a grayish tint. It looked like a bag of worms, basically. Like, so I had one color that couldn't go with it. The other colors we did were like red and orange, which was, I want to say a dumb idea, but then I'd be like calling her idea dumb. I'm calling myself dumb for not like saying something to her that red and orange might be too difficult to differentiate once we get it. But I ain't know how to use the word differentiate with a 5-year-old and I couldn't think of another word. Tell them apart or something. I don't know. Hindsight. Anyway. So yeah, it turned out like we got green, red, and orange, and it just looked like green and red, which I guess is Christmas colors. So maybe it all worked out in the end. And she was excited about it, and she asked to do it again. So we did it again the next week. So I guess it was a successful dad parenting experiment. But don't try purple unless you know what you're doing, because it's gonna turn out like worms. That's the moral of the story. The other mistake I made was I tried to pull something from my childhood. Like, and I think we all do that as parents. You know, if there was something you remember fondly in your childhood, you like, you want to share it with your kids. So I remember growing up, I had a Snoopy snow cone maker. I'm sure a lot of y'all did. Like, I'm pretty sure this was a popular thing. Don't make me feel like I was alone in a Snoopy snow cone maker. But I had one and I hate the peanuts. Like, I hate the peanuts. Her mother loves the peanuts, loves Charlie Brown and all that stuff, and I fucking hate it. Like, it is the worst. It's not entertaining at all. Like, I don't know what we got sucked in with as kids. Maybe it was just animation and we just loved it because it was animation or something, but it's boring, it's dry, it got too many messages and shit. I don't know, it's too positive. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I hate it. I hate the peanuts, but I love my Snoopy snow cone maker. So I saw that they still made them, and I bought my daughter a Snoopy snow cone maker. So of course you want to make snow cones, and yeah, that's not for kids, man. I never struggled, so I don't know if there's. I think the only project I struggled harder with was, you know, making whipped cream with her, like whipping cream by hand without a mixer. Like, that was work. This was right up there. I don't know which one was worse, but trying to like turn that little wheel and turn ice cubes in the snow. Like, we made like barely a cup and a half of these little ass cups of snow cones. And I had to been like, oh, you know, like I got her cup full and I'm like, yeah, daddy just wants a little bit. Like, daddy is done. I'm not scraping these damn ice cubes no more. It was, yeah, woosah. Like, so I sent that home with her. I hope mom's isn't too upset if she makes her do it. Maybe she got better ice cubes. Maybe it was just our house. I don't know. That was a struggle. I wouldn't recommend the Snoopy snow cone maker. Not at all. It's not TWS approved. But the last thing we did, which was probably the most fun for me, I don't even think she paid attention to it. We did ice cream in the bag, which is pretty cool. The, you know, the cream and the condensed milk or whatever, and sugar, and we put strawberries in it. I bought her some kid-safe knives, so she helps me cut the strawberries, and it's real rough. Like her cut-up strawberries is horrible. I can say that because she's my daughter. You can't, but it's horrible. It really is. Like it's so bad that I'm talking about it. Like if it wasn't that bad. Like, if it was close to a chop that you would accept, you know, from a person, then it would be no reason to bring it up. But I'm bringing it up because it really is, like that bad. It's such a rough, just janky dice of, or whatever you want to call it, a straw. It reminded me a lot of, it was a trigger. It reminded me a lot of shit we used to do in college with bathtubs and liquor, like. Yeah, nobody gave a fuck how you cut the fruit that went into that. And that's what it looked like, nobody cared. But now she helped me cut up the strawberries, and we made the ice cream in the bag. I had to shake it for like 15 minutes or whatever. And I don't think she cared at all. But it turned out dope. That was the dopest thing we made, ice cream in the bag. I do recommend that. And maybe one day I'll be able to explain the science behind it to her. So we'll get there. But yeah, that was the majority of my Chef Elise experience and our time together. We did have one last very special thing that I want to share with everybody because it meant the absolute world to me. My daughter, Elise, she asked, like, I didn't prompt her at all. Like, we have never had a discussion about this ever. And out of nowhere, she asked to watch SpongeBob. A moment like this, some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this. I have been waiting her entire childhood to like be able to watch cartoons with her that wasn't like the Bubble Guppies or whatever that show is, you know, wasn't like the extremely retarded shit that we make kids watch. Like, I laugh at SpongeBob. I think SpongeBob is funny. It was a moment. Like, I'm getting there. Like, me and my little girl is about to be cartoon buddies, and we're going to be able to watch SpongeBob and Powderpuff Girls and Dexter's Laboratory. I'm pulling out all the old stuff and whatever. Like, this is going to be super dope. That was the most amazing moment over the holidays by far, that my daughter is old enough to like SpongeBob. And I finally have an excuse to watch the stuff that I watch. Because I swear to God, like, 99.9% of the stuff I watch is animated. If it's live action, I probably don't want to have nothing to do with it. I watch straight cartoons, and I'm talking kid cartoons, Total Drama, Island, all that stuff. That, I love it, and I can't wait to share that with my daughter, so. That's dopeness. That's some positivity coming into 2021. So with all that positivity and love and joy and fathers and daughters and all that, I do want to talk about some things we need to leave in 2020. Some things that I would like to leave in 2020. You know, I try not to tell you what to do, but it would mean a lot to me if y'all left this shit in 2020. It would mean the world to me if it didn't come back up again. First thing on my list that irks me the most is this, but y'all ain't ready to have that conversation. Can we leave that in 2020? Can we leave the post about whatever issue it is that you really want to talk about, but then you make it seem like it's our fault that you're not talking about it because we ain't ready for that conversation? It sounds more like you not ready to have that conversation, like you not ready for any rebuttal to whatever feeling you have about a particular topic. So you're just going to put your thing out there and tell us we're not ready to have that conversation, so we know not to say nothing negative back, because I don't know. But whatever it is, whatever your motivation is behind that statement, it's just the dumbest shit. If you don't feel like we're ready to have that conversation, don't fucking bring it up. Like, either bring it up or don't bring it up. Like, wusa, wusa, wusa. You know, but if we could leave that behind, it would mean everything to me. I'm really sick of somebody telling me what I'm not ready to talk about, because I want to talk about any and everything. We can have the conversation. Let's have the conversation. If I don't have an opinion, as much as I hate to do so, I probably make one up just because you make it seem like we can't. I ain't ready. Like, tell me if I'm ready. I'm whatever. I'll be ready when I want to be ready. Usa, moving on. This one is personal. This one is for me. I have a thing, a mantra I've been saying for a while. I say it in interviews, like, you know, people who ask me, I don't even know what the interview question is. I can't think of what the interview question is that this would be the answer to. Y'all will probably know when I give you the answer, but I got to kill it. I got to stop it because I realize it's not true. I had this thing where I say, there are only two categories in this world. The things I've done and things I haven't done. But there is nothing I cannot do. And it felt real deep when I said it, and it felt real, like, I feel like I made that up. I don't know if it came from somewhere, like, I subconsciously heard it from somebody else, and then I've, like, turned it into my quote. If you use it, I want to be attributed. But anyway, yeah, it's bullshit. It's 100% bullshit, because I realize there's some things I cannot do. And chief among that list of things is pick up dog poop. Can't do it. I can't do it. I realized this year I can't do it. I can't. I don't know if it's a mental block. I cannot. I'm not capable of doing it. I can't fathom a circumstance in which the consequences to not picking it up would be great enough that I would pick it up. Like, it would have to be a threat, like, against my daughter or something. Like, you don't pick up the dog poo, I'm gonna shoot, you know. And they'd be like, well, why would you pick this scenario? Like, what kind of supervillain are you that you came up with some scenario where I gotta pick up dog poop or you gonna do something to my people? Like, can we talk about your mental health? Like, I would try to deflect. I would try to deflect before I picked it up because I can't do it. And that's why I don't have a dog. I don't have any problem with people. I do have a problem with people who have dogs and don't pick it up. Like, that's wrong. But that's why I don't have a dog, because I know I can't do it. And had the discussion recently with my daughter that she wants to have a dog. And that was my thing to her. It was, are you ready to be able to take care of a dog? And by take care of a dog, I only mean pick up his shit. Like, because I can't help you with that. Dad wants to help with everything, but I can't do that. I can't do that for you. I can't. I can't, people. I can't. I really. Nah, it ain't. No, I can't do it. I barely wanted to, like, and I did my whole thing as a dad, cleaning, you know, poop diapers. I've been pooped on, you know. I've been vomited on, snot, all that good stuff. Like, and I somehow pushed through it. But dog shit, I can't do it. I can't do it. My roommate got a dog, and I'm sitting outside, you know, just the other day, and the dog, you know, runs out in the backyard and, you know, doing this little thing with sniffing around. You know what's about to happen. And go ahead and, you know, and drop a turd. And I feel like from however many feet I was away from that dog, and it was several, I feel like I could smell it. Like, his presence over there was fucking with me. I wanted somebody to pick it up, but it ain't going to be me. I can't do it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that came to mind because I'm dealing with some other situations that are going to get to my next point, where I'm realizing, like, these are also things that I felt in my mind I cannot do. And I'm in a situation now where I have no choice but to do them. And, got to find a way. But those things I take, dog shit, nah, I ain't. Can't do it. Won't do it. The last thing I want us to leave in 2020 is the stigma against, like, mental health stuff. Like, the other two was nonsensical, trying to be funny, making jokes. This one not so much a joke. We gotta talk more about mental health. We gotta normalize mental health issues and seeking help a little bit more. You know, even in the community that I'm in, you know, I talk a lot about being in the recovery community and my mental health issues. And a lot of people in recovery have mental health issues. You know, depression and substance abuse, I think, are the two top co-occurring disorders. Like, they just go hand in hand. But yeah, even in that community, like, you know, there's I think there's a stigma sometimes on taking medication and things like that. And I guess relying on a substance to kind of help you, you know, mitigate, you know, some of the things. But yeah, one of the reasons why, you know, I'm almost a month in between episodes is, you know, life happened and trying to find ways to cope with it and wasn't going very well. Luckily for me, you know, I'm at a place in my sobriety where it really didn't feel like a challenge to my sobriety. Like, I knew I had to push through this stuff mentally, but falling back on that, on a substance to do so, just didn't seem, you know, the right way. I know what's in store for me if I go back that road. So I did reach out. You know, I had a 45-minute conversation with a psychiatrist online. You know, I did the whole doctors on demand virtual thing. Picked a black doctor with a beard. I don't know why, but for some reason, the beard seemed to be an important criteria. I don't know what I based like selecting a doctor, because I scrolled through a bunch of doctors. I feel like maybe it was the most racist thing I've done in a while, but I feel like I purposely was looking for a black doctor and then like black doctor with a beard. For some reason, the beard, like, that was the thing that was like, all right, you. But yeah, 45-minute conversation. You know, got prescribed a few things, picked up my prescriptions, and been taking them. And it's definitely got me in a place where I can more easily push through. There's still effort involved in, you know, getting over that hill, but it's got me to a place where the hill doesn't seem as steep as it did prior to the medication. And, you know, I don't know if medication is my long-term solution or if it's just what I need to help me get through this moment, but I'm getting through this moment. And yeah, so I hope in 2021, as it seems we've been talking about for a long time, that we continue to peel off layers of that stigma against mental health and talking about mental health and seeking help for mental health. I got to take a drink real quick. Hold on. Hopefully y'all didn't hear all the swallowing. I don't know what. Okay, there we go. Now I'm back. Yeah, but yeah, that's my hope for 2021. Of all the things we need to leave behind, we need to leave behind that stigma and allow a space for people to be able to discuss those things and get the help they need, because it's important. But the help is out there, I guess, is the more important thing. I was hoping that we was going to be able to leave the election behind in 2020. I even asked that question on my last episode if we was over, we was done with it. But, you know, y'all answered that real fast. So here we are. Here's hoping for a safe inauguration. Everybody stay safe. You know, they're asking people to attend virtually if possible. You know, I don't know. I don't want to tell you what to do on that. Other than be safe, like, just be safe, make informed decisions. It's a mad, crazy world out there right now, but we all gonna make it. And if you need help, ask for it. I'm always here. What can Flan do for you? If you're looking for help with your fitness goals or your dietary goals, trying to lose weight, just trying to eat cleaner, whatever it is, holler at my man Zaya Fitness, Zayah Fitness on Instagram. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, to help your fellow man, to be your brother's keeper, please check out ttcharities.org. You know, do what you can. They always got something going, so do what you can. Be it a like, retweet, share, repost, whatever it is. You know, donate time, money, books, clothes, whatever it is. But if you're looking for ways to be impactful, ttcharities.org. As always, I'm going to get like back to pushing out regular content, but I do have 184 episodes, including this one, that if you ever need to feel like you're having a quick conversation with somebody, you get out of your own head and get into mine, because mine is crazy. I might be crazier than you. If you ever need to feel not so crazy, I got 184 episodes for you. Come listen in. Listen to me ramble through my bullshit. But yeah, what is TWS? You can find it on all your major streaming platforms, and my new show, Define Functional, should be everywhere. If you don't find it somewhere, let me know. But it should be everywhere at this point. More content coming on all of those. Merch is available. Coupon code hoodie season still applies. 20% off all merch on both sites. What is TWS.com and DefineFunctional.com. So get your hoodies. I didn't get in on the mask thing because I kept feeling like it's going. By the time I make a mask, it's going to be over. But shit, it might be about that time. I don't know. Might just need to do that. Neither here nor there. I don't know. I guess I'm done. I guess I'm done talking. That was the worst ending. I guess I'm done. Anyway, yeah, I guess it's time to head out of here. I appreciate you. If you made it this far, I appreciate you. Yeah, you know, tune in again next week. I'm going to make the guarantee right now. It'll be content out next week. I probably will drop. I know this episode is coming out on a Thursday. I'm probably going to turn right back around and put the episode out on Monday. That is the goal. So be prepared on Monday for there to be new content. We're going to rock out with what Title said was my favorite song of 2020. This was supposed to be like my New Year's episode. Fuck it, though. We do it when we do it. But yeah, this was what Title said was my favorite song of 2020. We're going to rock out with that. But until we speak again, be safe, be light, be easy.
Give you the closet and I split the bedroom with you. Trying to sweep you off your feet and jump the broom with you. I mean, for real.
I've been doing my own thing. Love has always had a way of having that timing. But you're the first one to make me feel like this. And it's the one opportunity that I can miss.
You don't even know what love is. Do you really think you love me?